Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios, New York City, and I welcome you. Today, we're going to talk about the latest on health and healing. We're going to talk about aronia. Now, maybe you've heard it by another name called chokeberry. That's C-H-O-K-E-B-E-R-R-Y. Well, it's really good for you, and I'll tell you what it does. Also, Food Technology Magazine was curious about so many healthy things getting into the American diet. Well, how are they getting in? Ways that fresh fruits and vegetables are getting into your diet. Also, how green housing can reduce health risks from environmental pollutants. And I'll give you some tips of what I do and what you could do, whether you live in an apartment. And how, if you're incarcerated, how yoga can make a big difference, actually making better fathers, a really good report on that. And NAC, that's N-acetylcysteine, can benefit cardiovascular health from the University of Marburg in Germany, and how sprouted broccoli increases anti-cancer properties 50 times more. Well, that's really good if we could prevent cancer. So I've got a lot to share on health and healing. I'm going to share a very rare audio clip with you. Two, in fact. One will include a person that you are not familiar with, have never heard of him, and that he's one of the most powerful people in the United States, in fact, around the world, when it comes to understanding American interest. His name is Patrick Clawson. He's Deputy Director for Research at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and the Senior Editor for the Middle Eastern Quarterly. Why is he important? Well, he appears frequently on television and radio. He publishes op-ed articles in major newspapers, including the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post. And he's testified before congressional committees more than 20 times. So why is he important? You'll see why. And he'll see how his words may challenge his authority of objectivity. Also, Robert McNamara, former defense secretary, one of the best and brightest, we were told. Well, I won't say more than that because I want to kind of hold that as a surprise. Also, how a retired government scientist warns about the health risks of microwave radiation from wireless devices in our schools and on our children. And what wireless devices should be you concerned about? Well, how about your Wi-Fi installations, which are ubiquitous, and cell phones and cordless phones and wireless computers and desktops and laptops and tablet models and baby monitors and smart meters and smart appliances and microwave ovens? All of that you should be concerned about. So we're going to deal with all that. Let's begin. Aronia is one of those really exotic berries. It's also called black chokeberry. And according to the Journal of International Society of Sports Nutrition, it helps athletes beat post-workout inflammation. Researchers designed their study to evaluate whether flavonoid-rich foods like black chokeberry would have an effect on inflammation and iron metabolism and total antioxidant capability. And they then did a placebo-controlled, and they found that when testing it on Olympic-trained athletes, it made a big difference. They used it 3 times a day for 8 weeks. Now, why is this important? Because here, once again, you can find black chokeberry. It's not that difficult, or it might be listed under aronia, A-R-O-N-I-A. And generally, you'll get it as a concentrate in health food stores. Comes in a bottle. It's not expensive. Has a strong taste to it, a strong fruity taste to it. It's part of a growing number of superfruit berries that most Americans may have occasionally. But if you're an athlete or if you're exercising, and after you finish that exercise, you feel really tired, your muscles burn, then you need it. it'll do you a lot of good. So for those of you who are cyclists and tennis players and squash players and those who do swimming and those who work out in the gym and those who do the cycling, all that, it'll help you. I remember years ago doing an article, I believe it was for Family Circle or one of those big magazines, Parade, and they wanted to know, how can you sneak healthy food into the average American diet? And so I came up with some ways of just being creative. Like, for example, I came up with a way of making vegan scrambled eggs and vegan bacon. Now, for those of us who don't eat bacon and eggs, we don't need a bacon and egg substitute. But for a lot of Americans, they do, because they're in transition. And I can understand that, and I believe that we should be both non-judgmental and patient with people who say, I don't want to give up my favorite foods. All right. So what if I can make your favorite food healthier? Would you then be interested in giving it up if you saw you weren't really sacrificing taste? And if they say yes, then I go to work. And then I'll make them a smoothie. And if their favorite flavor is chocolate, I'll use raw organic chocolate. If it's strawberry, I'll use strawberry natural flavor or whatever the flavor is. So that disguises what's in there. Now, what's in there is the good stuff. You know, if I put some of this good stuff in a tablet and said, would you take the garlic capsules? No. Leaves an aftertaste. Yeah. How about onion? No, don't want that. How about the sulfur ones that are really helping your body if you have herpes or if you have hepatitis or if you have bacteria, if you have yeast and candida? Well, I might have those things, but I don't like that kind of terrible sulfury taste in my mouth. So you throw it into one of these smoothies. You no longer taste it, but it's doing you good. So that was kind of what I was suggesting, and I showed them how to take firm tofu and dice it into cubes and then mix in turmeric and then some of the natural smoked yeast, which was smoke without heat, and it's natural yeast, but it gives it in part a flavor of scrambled eggs. And so I would then mix all this together with diced up onions, and then I would dice up potatoes and do a simple scrambled eggs, like a hash browns, and red peppers, yellow peppers, and put in some salt and Himalayan sea salt and black pepper. No one knew it wasn't scrambled eggs. It fooled everyone. Now you can get them. Now they're pretty good. For a long time, it was just a lot of, in my personal opinion, very poor imitations with a lot of modified food starch and things you wouldn't want. So then we are today. People are far more sophisticated about what they want and don't want, and there's a huge organic movement. When I tell you it's huge, and we're just the beginning of it. I remember when the largest produce store in the United States called Fairway, and a person I knew very well, he and a friend founded Fairway, and we were doing a project together. We wanted to do a teaching homestead upstate New York, and so we were always looking for farmland that had beautiful views and settled in the Goshen area to bring people up on the weekends so they could actually learn how to farm in their own backyard. And all the research plots were measured off 20 by 40, like a usable size of most people's backyards, and then show how to do everything from fruit trees and how you cover them to protect them in bad weather, to grapes, and it worked. Showed thousands of people how to grow. But the trouble was, his customers wouldn't eat organic food. They wouldn't even buy it, even when we offered it at half the price of regular chemical-laden, pesticide-loaded vegetables. They're stuck in their ways. Maybe they thought organic was too unfamiliar with them. In any case, that's changed. Now organic is not considered so esoteric. But still, you have finicky eaters. Here are some ways that healthy food is getting into people's diets. And one of the things I suggested is one of the foods that's almost never eaten. Ask people. Everyone knows cauliflower. How rare do they ever eat it? And broccoli is the same, and asparagus. And so what you do is this. You can steam the cauliflower, therefore Now, this is one of those that when you steam it, it actually increases in its nutritional bioavailability, meaning the nutrients are more available. More nutrients will be digested if you eat it steamed than raw. In fact, most of it raw will go right through your system, will not open up, because the oligocellulose, that tight fiber, doesn't liberate itself enough. But when you steam all these, the cells break down the outer tough cell that has no nutrition in it anyhow, it's fiber. But it breaks down and that liberates all those isothiocyanates and indole-3-carbinols, all those wonderful sulfur groups, the healing components for cancer in particular, for lupus. So what you do with cauliflower is this, and it takes very little time. You steam it until you can put a fork against it and you feel it giving way. All right. Then you throw it into a blender and you put equal parts extra virgin olive oil, organic, and your unprocessed raw coconut oil. Equal parts, maybe a tablespoon of each. Then you dice up some chives, you dice up some sweet onion, and you dice up some sautéed garlic. Thinly slice your garlic, sautéed so it's just golden but not brown. And you put that in. Now you can put in some, let's say, tarragon with cauliflower. It's the perfect herb, the perfect accent of its taste, because cauliflower in and of itself is very mild taste. And then you can spice it with a little bit of cumin, not a lot, cumin seed, and then top it off with just a little bit of maple syrup, organic maple syrup, sea salt and pepper, and you blend it in a blender. You put that on a dish, and now you have something that looks like, tastes like mashed potatoes, but is far healthier. This is one of the most delicious little mini foods that you can have. Like, for example, I might have some of that already made, and then I might have it in the refrigerator and just throw it in a blender and throw everything else. It takes me a minute. I blend it, and then I have that, and that's a mid-afternoon snack that lasts me 3 or 4 hours. Now, if I really want to be fun in doing this, I throw in a raw avocado, and everything else is the same, and it's just delicious. So you can add things to it, but you get the idea. Sometimes you just have to be a little creative of how you get healthy foods into another person's eating plan. Here's what they came up with, and this is from Food Technology Magazine. Cauliflower. They're now finding a huge increase, 22% increase in global use of cauliflower. People are roasting it. That's good. They're mashing it. I just showed you how to do that. They're pureeing it. Well, mashing and pureeing, you can do both. And they're including it in everything, including they're putting it on pizzas. Well, you could actually make a healthy gluten-free pizza that you don't cook at a high temperature. You can put it into a dehydration oven so it gets it nice and warm and it crisps it up, but it's not burnt. And hence, there's no hydrocyclic amines. So it looks like a pizza. It tastes like a pizza, but it won't burn in your mouth, and there's no gluten or dairy in it or salami. So it's got everything healthy. That's why I say there's lots of fun ways to make a popular unhealthy food delicious and healthy. They also said that exotic fruits and vegetables, quote, consumers are becoming more willing to try more than just apples and oranges these days, and fruits like and vegetables such as rhubarb, kohlrabi, dragon fruit. Dragon fruit, by the way, is in season right now. I grow dragon fruit. I don't recommend eating it by itself because it's virtually tasteless. You won't taste anything. It has a wonderful reddish color, and you open it up and it's kind of slightly off-white with little tiny little dots. It looks like someone made a perfect circle of little tiny pepper dropped on it. So what I suggest you do is you puree some kiwi, and yellow kiwi is in season now. And then you you take your puree and you put it into a little dispenser. I might have, when I'm doing a cooking class, I might have 50 little dispenser bottles. And what you do, those are your concentrates. And then you squirt them. And you can make beautiful little designs on food on the plate. That's what gourmet chefs do. That's how a dish suddenly looks gourmet, is how it's decorated, how it's plated. And but with this, you simply take your pureed kiwi, and if you want to really make it exotic, throw in some fresh medjool dates, blend them, and then spritz that on your slices of dragon fruit, and make a nice, cut your dragon fruit, and it comes in little circles, little wheels, and just put them around a plate. In the middle of the plate, you could have a sauce and toothpicks, and just take the dragon fruit piece, dip it into the puree that you just made. And that's what you're tasting, but the mouthfeel, it's cool and smooth. It's almost like a Comus pear in its consistency. So served chilled, it's a wonderful surprise for people who have not had it. And of course, everything goes into smoothies nowadays, and that's good. So I'm glad to see they're getting it. And now they're saying cruciferous vegetables. Well, we all know we should be eating cruciferous vegetables every day, because cruciferous vegetables are the powerhouses of nutrients that help prevent cancer. And if you have it, the more you have, the better you have a chance of surviving your cancer. And like broccoli, radishes, kale, all right, cauliflower. And they're saying that they're using all kinds of innovative, but they're also for the first time using things like parsnips. By the way, you can make a wonderful parsnip. Parsnips are actually a sweet. And what you do, you steam the parsnip. First you spray it, all right, and you scrub it. And then you scrape it, like you would scrape a cucumber. You scrape it. Then you steam it. Then you cut little slashes in it. And then in there you put your infusions. For example, let's say you have a parsnip that's like a carrot. It's large at one end and tapers down to a tiny end. You take a knife and you just make like a little groove clear down the whole length. And you make like four of them. Now here's what gets fun, and I don't know if anyone else has ever done this, but this is one of the dishes I like to surprise people with. In each cut, I put a different infusion. I might put a mint infusion. Well, what's a mint infusion? That's where I'll take peppermint or winter mint or spearmint leaves, fresh, and I put them into a blender, and I'll put a coconut meat and coconut water. I blend it till it's a thick consistency, much like yogurt. Then I put that into my infusion container, generally a little squeezy bottle, and you just start at one end, and you stick the end in, and you just squeeze, and it fills that crevice. And now you go, you turn it over, and now you might want to put a cacao, or a chocolate, or let's say carob, which is still excellent for you. And you make you might mix some raw organic chocolate in with maybe some rice milk and some anise. And then you blend that, you get your infusion, and then you make that. And then you turn it over. And you might make one with strawberries and tangerines. And you make that, and then you turn over it again. So what's happening is the art of exciting cooking is that each time a person bites into something, you are allowing a different sensation. The tongue is picking up with millions of little taste buds. It's picking up flavors. And that's when you're eating something that breaks down, so it's not just one constant taste sensation. It's multiple taste sensations. And that's what makes it wonderful. It's like when I make homemade ice cream and I churn it, and then I put it onto any form of mold, and I won't make it very thick, but then I'll put something in between it. I make a gluten-free, sugar-free a dairy-free, vegan angel food cake. And I put a layer of that. And then I put a different type of ice cream on top of that that I make. And then I'll put Black Forest cake on that. And then I put another layer of ice cream, a different one. Well, by the time I'm finished, about 7 or 8 inches high, it's all organic. I can actually make it raw. It's loaded with nutrition. It's like a, but it's funny because people think, well, God, that's got a lot of calories. No, it doesn't. Well, that can't be healthy. Yes, it is. Well, it's sweet, so it's bad, a lot of sugar. No, it doesn't have a lot of sugar. It's got a lot of sweet. But that's the art of making something interesting. Sometime after the first year, when I get some time, I'll do an all-day cooking class for those of you who are interested in learning some of the things. And good news is, in the very near future, hopefully in the next 2 months, my newest gourmet vegan raw food cookbook will be out with 200 original recipes that could go on the cover of Gourmet magazine. So the idea that because we're eating healthy or vegan or gluten-free that we have to first get into a monk's outfit, secondly find a cold peak at 12,000 feet in the Himalayas, third had someone ring a chime in our ear, and then eat some, you know, tasteless brown rice, that just isn't the way the world works today. We can be hip, aware, fun, upbeat, and let the person who wants to do nothing except wonder what they did with their life, except meditate, realize we are a living meditation, and food should be exciting, it should be sexy, it should be sensual, it should just be a wonderful experience. So now the good news is they're actually doing this. So I'm happy about that. And they said even, quote, natural food coloring. Yeah, you don't need any more synthetic coloring agents. You can create your own colors from purees of juices and concentrates, label them, and as long as you put some vitamin C in and shake it up, or a little lemon juice and shake it up, it'll last for weeks, just as long as you keep it refrigerated. So that's a good thing. And sweet potatoes, of course, sweet potatoes are, you can do muffins, cheesecake, sauces, juices, all with sweet potatoes. Shouldn't just be laying on a plate like, oh, good, exciting. There's a sweet potato. Yeah, no, that's where we begin our journey. Now let's make it exciting. Next up, this was, I found interesting. This is from Washington State University. Yoga in jails helps make better fathers. I wonder if all the prison people had to do yoga, that it would make them better at being able to be with prisoners. I don't believe anyone should be allowed to be a guard, a warden, or work in the prison system at all until first they have spent a month in there incognito, seeing what it's like to be in a prison. And then I don't believe any nonviolent offender should ever be in prison. It's just stupid. We'll get into that on another occasion. But here, it's yoga. And what they found was that when they were doing yoga with the prisoners, quote, it improved mental and physical health for the incarcerated fathers and improved their parenting skills. Quote, we would have a class on a specific topic like childhood development or setting limits, and that would last about an hour. And then yoga instructor would come in and give a guided yoga class. And they found out that the people began to really pay attention once they were into their breathing and form and stretching and the discipline of that. They began to calm down. They began to be able to meditate. They began to focus. Take that inner journey. And in there, they met a lot of unresolved issues, conflict, rage, anger, projections. And that allowed them to bring that out, to experience it in a nonviolent, non-hostile, non-judgmental way, and then realize how they could be a better parent if they didn't parent from anger, rage, resentment. So yoga was a tool, and that's good. And finally, a study finds stress at work is just as bad for your health as secondhand smoke. Wow. Okay, that means no one will be left in the building in 5 minutes at our sister station in New York. They're running for their stress. What stress? Yeah. Harvard Business School and Stanford University did a study, and here's what they found. Quote, being stressed out at work is just as bad as regularly being exposed to secondhand smoke. using data from 228 other studies, that's called a meta-analysis, and assessed the 10 workplace stressors on employees' physical and mental morbidity and mortality. Researchers concluded that workers who faced a great deal of stress on the job were 35% more likely to be diagnosed with an illness by a doctor. And people who work longer hours were found to be 20% increased risk of an early death. And lots of job insecurity, high job demands, no health insurance, long work hours, low organizational control, all were these factors. So one more reason to pay attention to the work environment. And ideally, I believe in the future you're going to have a lot of people who have worked for others who begin to work for themselves. And people who work for themselves work together with others. So it's not on you and your shoulders alone. I believe the future, which is now, is we, not me. I believe that if anything, my generation, the baby boomers, have learned, it's reappreciate and re-examine humility, but with self-confidence. A lot of people won't understand it, but that's not important. What's important is you don't have to win anything. You don't have to be the best, the brightest, right. All you have to do is honor life at its highest level and share that, harmonize that with other people, and then watch ideas just explode from conception to completion because you're sharing that experience with others. And I believe that younger people have the capacity to do that, want to do that, and are now needing to do that. My generation never did that, the majority, and we're going to have to. And finally, from a really interesting perspective on Sprouts, wow, for all of you at Last Retreat who did not eat your broccoli sprouts, we had them, 100 trays, a lot of people didn't like them, and I kept saying, you know, we'll make you a sauce so you don't have to focus on the sprout if it's too unusual. Focus on the wonderful sauce. They didn't realize how healthy it was. Quote, it is well known among health-conscious consumers and holistic health practitioners that broccoli and other related cruciferous vegetables such as cauliflower, cabbage, garden cress, bok choy, and Brussels sprouts offer antioxidant protection against developing cancer. Micronutrients to protect against cancer, known as isothiocyanates, are high in broccoli, the most powerful isothiocyanate, tumor-stifling ingredient recently isolated from broccoli, is known as sulforaphane. But the amount of broccoli needed to protect against cancer is beyond the comfort zone of most modern folk. But not when it is a sprout. Hence, the power of broccoli sprouts. Listen to this. The broccoli sprout has more nutrient density and contains up to 500% what is more needed as far as sulforaphane than normal broccoli. Wow. So the broccoli sprout is a whole lot more powerful than broccoli. It can help you with the following. Resist cancer tumors from forming. Resist heart failure. Bring down high blood pressure, help you with hypertension, help you with stomach ulcers, help you with asthma, and help you with inflammatory disease like rheumatoid arthritis. How about that? And good research done at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, has brought us a lot of what is powerful about broccoli sprouts. So, broccoli sprouts, we should be having them every day. Hopefully you do. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a brief break and come back. Please stay with us.
You had the better hold on to what you got. You had the better hold on to what you got. If you think, no.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Listen, fellas, you know it's not all the time that a man can have a good woman. A woman that he can call his very own. A woman who will stay right there at home and mind the children while he's going to work. A woman who will have his dinner cooked when he comes home. But where some men make mistakes is when they go out and stay because they feel that no other man wants his woman but him. But listen, if you think no other man wants her.
And I want to thank all of you who are listening over the telephone. We have a lot of people. We're approaching 20 million, let me repeat that, 20 million people minutes. We're number one in the United States out of thousands and thousands of radio programs and stations. We're, I think, number three in the world. So that's how people can listen on a portable device every single day at noon Eastern time. Let me give you the number. Always keep it because you never know when you might turn on your regular station where I'm normally heard. I'm heard all over the United States in different stations, and I might not be on there. This way, you won't have to call and say, where's Gary today? You'll call and listen. 712-775-6850. 712-775-6850. Now, we have a special for you. All this money goes to support the Progressive Radio Network. I donate my time, and have for a long time, because I believe we need a lot of voices, progressive voices, dealing with issues that are not being dealt with in the way that these hosts deal with them. So occasionally, not often, I'll take a few moments, share something that I've created that I believe will make a difference in your life, and you call and you're always getting it at some special deal. Now, normally it's called 10 to 1, which means that let's say this jar that I'm holding up right here, if you're watching over Ustream TV and go to Gary Knoll, you'll see this is a jar called Men's Stuff. I have another jar called Women's Stuff. Well, let's say if this cost the station $10, they would have to offer it for $100. They do this on PBS, NPR, and all of the other radio stations. They charge 10 times what their cost is. And I kept asking, why? I don't see the point. Why not charge less? So our policy is always to charge less than what you would pay for the same premium. So here's what we're doing today. First, you're going to get a whole lot more product for a whole lot less. I'm going to give you men's stuff and women's stuff. All right, you're going to get both. For example, in this jar of men's stuff, and I don't make any claims. You see, that's the difference between it'd be so easy. I have 10,000 people calling if I said, men, here's what this is going to do for you. You know those pills you had to buy? You know all those things? I'm not going to do that. I don't make claims, never have. I'll just let you know that I trust in your intelligence, in your capacity to research. So if I gave you some ingredients, if I said in this container, you're getting Muera Puama, Tribulus extract, Chisandra extract, Maca, M-A-C-A, root extract, Ginkgo extract, Longjack, Nettle root, Yohimbe extract, Ashwagandha extract, Horny goat weed extract, Eurylithococcus sinicosus, Panax ginseng, apple, GMO-free soy lecithin, banana, cocoa, oat, beta-glucan, and Damiana leaves. And it's sweetened with stevia. All right, and it's chocolate. You'd think, okay, I can get my protein from muscle. I can get my cruciferous and cruciferous stuff. I can get my berries from berry blast and red stuff. I can get my greens. So there must be a really special use for this. Yes, any man over the age of 25, men's stuff is for you. All right, and take it each day. Now, I've got the same thing for women's stuff, except women have unique needs. And I have in the women's stuff, I have Dong Quai. Now, Dong Quai at a ratio to 10 to 1 is very powerful. It is the most commonly used herb in the world that I know of for women. Plus maca root, nettle root, wild yam extract, ashwagandha extract, flaxseed, the soy isoflavones, sweet potato, blueberry, kale, broccoli, apple, banana, oat bran, and coca, sweet stevia, and its chocolate flavor. Again, you're not getting this for the protein, fiber, and it's only got 95 calories. You're getting this because of what a woman's biochemistry contains and what I've come from my own knowledge of biochemistry and what women and men need in that biochemistry to help them. That's all I'm going to say. I give you the ingredients. Took me a year to perfect each of these. You won't find it out there. That's yours. And the final piece of this package is this. All right? This is the most popular documentary I've ever done. It's called Sexual Healing. It's long. It's 2 hours and it's almost 2.5 hours long. Sexual Healing is the ultimate instructional guide for a healthy, supremely satisfying sex life. And I believe most people don't have that. Even in relationships, they don't have that. For all the reasons I discuss, why single people are frustrated, married couples are frustrated, why there's so much frustration. And they look in all the wrong areas. So I have a presentation for 2.5 hours all about if you're single, if you're married, if you're younger, if you're older. I go into depth on tantric sexual breathing and applied kinesiology. And if you've had sexual trauma in your life, how to overcome it. And sustaining sexual pleasure for hours. I mean, it's funny when someone like myself or others who are aware of what real sex should be, and you see these people having very quick sexual acts in television, you think, you're kidding. You're kidding. I mean, anything less than 3 hours is just a warm-up. It's just insane. So getting the understanding the sharing of the tantric, understanding the sharing of the oxytocin, the breathing, the imagination, the fantasy, the sharing. It's all in Sexual Healing. 2.5 hours. That you're getting in this package. Now you're getting all this together at a huge savings. And again, if I offer this on, let me just see the math here. If I offered this on PBS, it would go for around, based upon their concept of 10, it'd go for around $400. You're getting it for $159. That's a huge saving. It's over $100 savings. So you can't get this less anywhere. All right? But here's what you can do. You can call this number. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And by the way, unlike some, I will not mention radio stations around the United States that you may never get your premium or you may get it in. Well, unfortunately, if they offered this, you would probably no longer know what sex was. You'd be in a nursing home and saying, did I once pledge to that radio station to get a sex tape? That was 43 years ago. They promised it's coming. Yep. We're going to ship this out today or tomorrow. We try to get out within 24 hours. Yeah. And we actually have a customer service person that will take your calls if there's any problem. So you're getting a huge advantage to your biochemistry. You're getting great insights with Sexual Healing. It's going to address all the issues that you find important. You're getting it at a tremendous discount, and you're getting it now. And all that money, every penny, goes to the Progressive Radio Network. Again, 877-627-5065. Now, we're going to, my engineer is going to let me know when we have our guest coming up, Jesse Ventura. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play you something I think is important, and that is this shows you that when we look at the events in Libya and how NATO and the United Nations and the United Nations with full understanding of the consequences and Britain and France and Canada and all the other countries involved in Libya, there was a reason they needed Libya to be a failed state. There's a reason why they need Syria to be a failed state, and Iraq and Afghanistan and Iran and Somalia. And we have a hard time accepting that. So let's look at a major boondoggle, a major crisis, a major humanitarian disaster, Vietnam. Now, we weren't in Vietnam from 1963 to 1972. We'd been in there for a long time before that, supporting the French and giving them billions of dollars and intelligence. We should never have been in Vietnam. We were lied to. Now we have absolute proof. And who was the person who finally came forward decades afterwards to say it was all a lie? It was all a lie. But boy, did companies make trillions of dollars collectively. Robert McNamara. Listen to Robert McNamara in his own words.
On August 2nd, the destroyer Maddox reported it was attacked by a North Vietnamese patrol boat. It was an act of aggression against us. We were in international waters. I sent officials from the Defense Department out, and we recovered pieces of North Vietnamese shells that were clearly identified as North Vietnamese shells from the deck of the Maddox. So there was no question in my mind that it occurred. But in any event, we didn't respond. Two days later, the Maddox and the Turner Joy, two destroyers, reported they were attacked.
Where are these torpedoes coming from? Well, we don't know. Presumably from these unidentified craft.
There were sonar soundings. Torpedoes had been detected. Other indications of attack from patrol boats. We spent about 10 hours that day trying to find out what in the hell had happened. At one point, the commander of the ship said, "We're not certain of the attack." Another point, they said, "Yes, we're absolutely positive." And then finally, late in the day, Admiral Sharp said, "Yes, we're certain it happened." So I reported this to Johnson, and as a result, there were bombing attacks on targets in North Vietnam. Johnson said, "We may have to escalate. I'm not going to do it without congressional authority." And he put forward a resolution, the language of which gave complete authority to the president to take the nation to war, the Tonkin Gulf Resolution. Now, let me go back to the August 4th attack.
Well, apparently, been at least nine torpedoes in the water. All missed.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Wait a minute. I'm not so sure about this number of engaged.
Right.
We'd have to check it out here. He said many of the reported contacts and torpedoes fired appear doubtful. Freak weather effects on radar and overeager sonarmen may have accounted for many reports.
Okay, well, I'll tell Mr. McNamara this.
That's the best I can give you, Dave. Sorry. It does appear now that a lot of these torpedo attacks were from the sonar man, you see. And they get keyed up to a thing like this. Everything they hear on the sonar is a torpedo.
You're pretty sure there was a torpedo attack, though?
Oh, no doubt about that. I think. No doubt about that.
No, it was just confusion. And events afterwards showed that our judgment that we'd been attacked that day was wrong. It didn't happen.
Listen again what he just said. The architect of the Vietnam War, the one who's personally responsible more than any other person except the President of the United States for pushing the button to go. Our judgment was flawed. It didn't happen. The Gulf of Tonkin didn't happen. All those torpedo blips, those were sonar defects. So we caused 3.5 million people to lose their lives. We exposed an entire generation of American soldiers to post-traumatic stress disorder, the horrors of war, and brought a lot of them home and didn't help them. And many of those people committed suicide or broke their families' hearts because they didn't know how to reintegrate. And then we've left the legacy without doing anything to help with all the landmines that we put. The legacy of Agent Orange is still there, all because we needed the war. Now, you think we didn't need Vietnam? You and I didn't need Vietnam. We don't need Syria. We didn't need to invade Iraq. We didn't need to invade any of these countries. But other people do, if it's to work with their business model. Now, I want you to hear something you've not heard before. This is an extraordinary, rare piece of audio clip, and I've already given you the background on the man who you're going to hear mentioning what he's mentioning. He's giving the justification for America entering these war, and each of the people, you can't see it, but each of the people that are being referred to, including a Nobel laureate, the man who actually created the Internet, the man who was one of the most respected people on the inside circle in American history. Those are some of the voices you're hearing. These are not just activists. These are inside people. And the person you're listening to initially is Patrick Clawson. He's the one who, well, he was a senior research professor at the National Defense University's Institute for National Strategic Studies, a senior economist at the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and also a Foreign Policy Research Institute. He also PhD in economics from the New School. So he is the insider's insider. But it's rare that anyone on the inside ever makes the statements he does, and then the backup proof by independent scholars telling you about the wars you thought were done for the right reasons and noble causes and defend America, all lies. Listen up.
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough, and it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor.
Funny thing how certain things turn out to be fact in history books. Our government will lie, and that lie will become a fact.
Let me show you something that a lot of people today are still debating over. This is a Life magazine from September 24th, 1945. Well, the article that appears on page 110 is titled Pearl Harbor. It says, "The facts were known to Republican presidential candidate Thomas Dewey in 1944. For a long time, the official explanation of Pearl Harbor was that we were slugged without warning when we were innocently going about our business. Say that we were slugged without warning is a radical distortion of the truth. Roosevelt, the chief executive of the nation and the commander-in-chief of its army and navy, knew in advance that the Japanese were going to attack us. Japanese code had been solved for some time, and they knew that they were launching an attack against us, and we were not preparing our army and navy to withstand that attack. In fact, in many cases, what we were doing was even making sure that we could be attacked.
This is not the only case. There was also a major article in the Chicago Tribune during these years that also brought out the fact that we knew we were going to come under attack, etc.
Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode.
Now, what got us into World War I? If you ask an historian, they give a number of different provocations, the Zimmerman Note, but probably the incident that was most inflammatory to the public was the sinking of the Lusitania. Now, the Lusitania was a British passenger ship on its way from New York to England, 1915. At that time, England was at war with Germany, but we had not yet joined World War I. Well, the ship went down, And Americans were told that the Germans simply sank this ship to be ruthless. They saw an innocent passenger ship, wanted to kill a lot of women and children, and so down it went. Why the Germans sank it? They sank it because the Lusitania was loaded from one end to the other with munitions, millions of rounds of ammunition and many other munitions. Everyone who survived that disaster said there were two explosions, smaller one and then a huge one. The small one was a torpedo hitting. The large one was the munitions detonating. The ship went down in just 18 minutes after a single torpedo hit. Before the tragedy, Winston Churchill, who was then head of the British Admiralty, had ordered a study to be done to determine what the political impact would be if a British passenger ship was sunk with Americans on board. And there were almost 200 Americans on board the Lusitania. Prior to the sinking of the Lusitania, an exchange took place between Sir Edward Grey, the British Foreign Minister, and Edward Mandell House, who was President Woodrow Wilson's top advisor. Here's the exchange of communications. Grey: what will America do if the Germans sink an ocean liner with American passengers on board? House's reply: I believe that a flame of indignation would sweep the United States, and that by itself would be sufficient to carry us into the war. Joseph Kenworthy, who was then in British Naval Intelligence, Commander Kenworthy, said this: the Lusitania was deliberately sent at a considerably reduced speed into an area where a U-boat was known to be waiting, and where their escorts withdrawn. What does he say? How can he say a U-boat was known to be waiting? Well, the British in 1915 had cracked Germany's naval codes, and they knew the approximate location of every U-boat at that time. The British files. In the United States, an official hearing investigation was carried into looking into the sinking of Lusitania. But at that hearing, officials were only allowed to see a dummy manifest that omitted the ship's munitions. The original manifest that listed the munitions was ordered by President Woodrow Wilson to be hidden in the archives of the U.S. Treasury.
Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall they had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode.
Vietnam. The United States' official declaration of war in North Vietnam in 1964 came after an alleged incident involving two U.S. destroyers being attacked by North Vietnamese PT boats in the Gulf of Tonkin. This was known as the Gulf of Tonkin incident. This single situation was the catalytic pretext for massive troop deployment and full-fledged warfare. One problem, however: the attack on the U.S. destroyers by Vietnamese PT boats never happened. It was a completely staged event to have an excuse to enter the war. Former Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara stated years later that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a mistake, while many other insiders and officers have come forward relaying that it was a contrived farce, a complete lie. Once in the war, it was business as usual. In October 1966, President Lyndon Johnson lifted trading restrictions on the Soviet bloc, knowing full well that the Soviets were providing upwards of 80% of North Vietnam's war supplies. Consequently, Rockefeller interests financed factories in the Soviet Union, which the Soviets used to manufacture military equipment and send it to North Vietnam. However, the funding of both sides of this conflict was only one side of the coin. In 1985, Vietnam's rules of engagement were declassified. This detailed what American troops were and were not allowed to do in the war. It included absurdities like North Vietnamese anti-aircraft missile systems could not be bombed until they were known to be fully operational. No enemy could be pursued once they crossed the border of Laos or Cambodia. And most revealing of all, the most critical strategic targets were not allowed to be attacked unless initiated by high military officials. Apart from these imposed ludicrous limitations, North Vietnam was informed of these restrictions and therefore could base entire strategies around the limitations of the American forces. This is why the war went on so long. And the bottom line is this: the Vietnam War was never meant to be won, just sustained. This war for profit resulted in 58,000 American deaths and 3 million dead Vietnamese.
We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS...
Keep in mind, they're talking about we need a conflict, we need a flashpoint in order to get the American public to feel, oh, we're threatened, and then let's go and engage. They're now, are you ready for this? Over 200,000 special interest groups and corporations who are feeding off the $1.6 trillion a year in income they receive to maintain our military-industrial complex. And these are the people who win, Now, if the FBI knew, and it did, and the CIA knew, and it did, and that's not in dispute, about different plots to blow up the World Trade Center, then is it possible, as a hypothesis, that this was done by other people but could have been stopped because there was a benefit? It is a plausible hypothesis worthy of debate by people who are informed on both sides of the issue. But I'm just giving you a history of some of these conflicts. And there's always a certain group of people, and they're always in power. It doesn't matter whether they're Democrat or Republican, they're always in power. And we, the people, pay not just with our treasury, but also with lives and all the other innocents that are killed in the process. I thank you all for listening, and I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone. Utrice Lead is coming up in a moment, so you won't want to miss Utrice. Let me just mention also that I'm going to be hiring associate producers because of this massive new film I'm working on. It's as complicated as 10 films in one. I'll get it done in the next year, and it'll have a worldwide premiere. It's going to be a blockbuster in its impact. But our staff is to the max, so I'm hiring two people who are good at communicating with people to do what we call facilitated interviews, meaning they set up the interviews that I film. If you'd like to apply for one of those two jobs, and they'll be open for about 2 months, you can call 646-926-5422. And I'm hiring two people, one for night, one for day, who can help with our supplement department and the health food store. You must have a background, in sales, meeting people, good. You don't have to have a background in nutrition. We have on staff a qualified, very outstanding, with Larry and Celestina and others, who counsel people for free. That's taken care of. If you have a background in nutrition and you have experience with supplements, good too. These both pay good, and they're both full-time jobs. And if you're interested in applying for those two full-time jobs in the health food store, you can call 646-926-5422.